Beautiful, beautiful day, beautiful time to be together. Isn't it great that we can come together, we can remember our God and worship Him, encourage each other. As Keith mentioned a few minutes ago, whether it be here, whether it's our connection with you online, we are grateful for your presence, and it's our hope and our prayer that by spending this time together, us together with one another, we can be encouraged in the faith and brought closer to Jesus. Ultimately, that's what it's all about. Would you say amen to that? Amen. We have a definition for you to start things out this morning, and it's the definition of 2.0. Now, if you were to say 2.0 maybe 40, 50 years ago, maybe some people wouldn't know what you're talking about. That's a kind of a term that's come about more recently in the last several decades. And the official definition of the term 2.0 is that it is used post-positively. That's just a fancy way of saying something that follows something else. Like if your last name is Junior, that's post-positive to your name, and it means something related to your name. Used post-positively to describe a new and improved example of something or someone. So starting out this morning, let me ask you a question. Is there a 2.0 version of you? And if there is, what is it? Why does it matter? What's this whole talk about 2.0 anyway? Well, some of you may remember Windows Operating System 1.0. How many of you remember Windows 1.0? All right. How many of you remember Windows 2.0? How many of you remember Windows 3.1? I think they skipped 3.0 and went to 3.1. How many of you remember Windows ME? How many of you remember Windows 98, 2000, 95, XP, Vista. You laughed when I said Vista. That wasn't such a good one, was it? What about Windows 7? Windows 8? I'm going to trick you on this one. Windows 10. They skipped Windows 9 for some reason. All those changes with the promise of a product that's better, more usable, more effective, easier to use. And they use these things, at least Microsoft did, to sell their product, their operating system, to get an edge on somebody else. And in the marketing world and in business, it's all about how you market your product, because you want people to buy that product. You think of the billions that are spent on making products more useful, more helpful, you know, easier to use, all of those things. Now, when it comes to all those versions of Windows, I guess people have different opinions on whether one product was better than another, or whether Windows Vista actually helped people that much at all. Sometimes they're big flops. Sometimes an ad campaign, sometimes a product doesn't always deliver the way it wants to or says it's going to. How many of you remember the LifeLock advertisements from about a decade ago? And the CEO of this company, Todd Davis, you remember the ads when he's out there in New York City? There's a truck out there, and he is advertising LifeLock identity theft security program, and they were trying to sell that, and he was so bold as to say, folks, this is my social security number. And he gave it out to everybody across the nation in their advertisements. My name's Todd Davis, and this is my social security number, and then he gives it. And the advertisements went all over the place, but there was only one little problem with that. His identity was stolen and used in a false way 13 times. So his identity was stolen by advertising his social security number, and it turned out that the FTC it was, fined him for like $12 million, he and his company for $12 million for false advertising. Other companies have made attempts to kind of recreate themselves, and one of those was Radio Shack. How many of you remember Radio Shack, okay? They used to be all over the place, very popular, but they kind of declined. And in the late 2000s, they decided to do an ad campaign to get people's attention, come up with a new slogan to sell themselves as a viable technological company selling products that people could use. And their motto was, "Our friends call us the Shack." Hey, man, that's catchy, isn't it? Oh, man, yeah, the Shack. Yeah, Radio Shack. Only problem with that was that it just didn't work. Didn't work at all. I don't think you found anybody walking around town saying, "Hey, man, I'm a friend of the Shack." In fact, in 2015, Radio Shack filed for bankruptcy. They were sold and they've been resold. And there are a few Radio Shack versions of stores, some places in the United States, two in the greater Cincinnati-Dayton area, but they really don't amount to what they used to. And here's the big one. Here's the biggie. How many of you remember the new Coke? Okay. The new Coke. Yep, back in the late 80s, Coca-Cola decided in the heat of the Cola Wars that they were going to introduce the new Coke. And they spent extensive money, millions of dollars, testing their product, blind taste tests against the old Coke and against Pepsi. And like a huge percentage of people like the new Coke taste better. So they figured they would unveil it, spent millions on advertising, started pushing the new Coke, and you know what happened with that, don't you? Once again, that was an epic fail. They lost millions on that one. In fact, there was such an outcry about getting rid of the old Coke that they decided to eventually get rid of the new Coke and come back with the old Coke, and that's where we get the term today, Coca-Cola. What's the term used now? Classic. As the original formula. And so, for whatever reasons, a lot of the people, even though in blind taste tests they said they liked the taste of the new Coke better, when it came to telling folks they didn't have any more access to the classic Coke, well, the company listened loud and clear and actually made a lot of money on the classic Coke sometime after that. Think about this whole idea of products and selling something. What do we sell? Excuse me. What's our product? As a church, we're not in the selling business, but we are in the product business, are we not? What do we have to offer? What do we have to share? What do we have, by God's grace, that people need? Well, I would say this. We have the best product, the best ever product to ever be offered anywhere, anytime. Because the product that we share, the story we share, the message we share, is the one that addresses the greatest need mankind has any time, any place, and that's the problem of sin. There's no product that's out there on the market that can compete with what the Church of Jesus Christ has to offer for mankind's greatest problem. And that's our alienation from God, our sin, our brokenness. So we have something that addresses the greatest need. And we have, by His grace, something that offers the best life that one can live right now, and forever. Does it get any better than that? And it doesn't matter in terms of whether we package it this way or package it that way, and it does matter to a point. Let's not get away from the point that what we offer in Jesus and who Jesus is and what Jesus offers and what we offer the world through Jesus is always the classic. It's not new and improved. It can't be better. You can't improve upon Jesus. You can't improve upon what He's done or what He's doing in us or what He offers to do for us or the world. It doesn't get any better than that. But having said that, through the years, because we live in different times, in different ages, the church has gone about trying to connect with the world in people in different ways, using different methods. Would you agree with me on that one? I mean, we certainly don't communicate today the way they communicated back in the first century. You may have noticed when you came in this morning, for those of you who are here, there's a new sign out front. How many of you noticed the new sign? And it's our new logo. We've been actually working on it for about a year and a half. We were going to share it sooner, but we felt the time was right to go ahead and do it. So, to the left, that's the old Northeast Church of Christ. And to the right, on your screen, that's the new Northeast Church of Christ. Not really. The church doesn't change. Our message doesn't change. What we do in terms of what we offer doesn't change. But there are times, obviously, we'll do something like this. I like the look a lot better myself. I don't know what your opinion is on that. On the left, I thought that was maybe good, but maybe a little bit confusing. We had people asking about what is that a bean sprout there at the bottom of those three people who are reaching up, and this look is a lot cleaner. It's a little bit more modern in terms of what you might see in terms of marketing or anything like that, and it's an outward change. But it signifies that, you know, we are a church that, while we don't change our core message, while we don't change who we are, there are certainly different ways that we can reach out and change and communicate. You may have noticed the new signage when you came in this morning here at Northeast. And so we've done some painting in the foyer and installed lighting. I tell you, quite frankly, I think it's going to help us when more guests come more and more and more as time goes on. It's going to help us reach our guests. It's going to help us point them to where they need to go. In fact, people will be able to walk into this building finally and look at these signs and say, oh, this is over that way, this is over that way, and that's going to be helpful. And obviously, that's something that is an outward change, but it's not just a slogan. So 2.0, what does it mean? It means we're not content to sit where we are. It means I'm not satisfied with the status quo. It means that there is room for growth, and there is room for change, and there is room to do things differently than we've done in the past. Think about the early disciples. What was their 2.0 experience? If you look at what they experienced when Jesus walked upon this earth, His earthly ministry, that was their, maybe we might call it their 1.0 experience. When they got to know Jesus, when they became His disciples, when they listened to Him teach. But that ultimately was always pointing somewhere else. It was pointing ahead. And so in that 1.0 experience of the disciples, the time came when Jesus died on the cross. That's why He came. But that was not the end, was it? There was a next step. There was a second step in what they were called to do, and it was brought about by the resurrection of Jesus. Look with me, if you would, at some of those verses before the one that was read just a minute ago. It says, in my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs. And these proofs showed that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. So if their 1.0 experience was what they experienced with him in his earthly ministry, their 2.0 experience, while new, was continuing and carrying on the same thing that he started in his earthly ministry with him. And there were some loose ends to take care of in that transition. Luke writes to a man named Theophilus. And Theophilus, we don't know everything about Theophilus, but we do know that he was someone that Luke was trying to convince him by sharing eyewitness testimony and things that he had learned and studied and talked to people who experienced what Jesus did, that these things are true. These things are real. This man, Jesus, really lived. And not only did he really live, he really died. And not only did he really die, he rose victoriously from the grave. And so he writes part one and part two. New and improved? Well, yes and no. You still don't improve upon Jesus. But there was this important next step. They weren't just after the death of Jesus and after his resurrection. They weren't just to go back to their homes and live lives like they lived those lives before Jesus came into the picture. There was this new step. And there was this new reminder, once again, reminded to them over and over again, as they're asking him about the nature of the kingdom, which they misunderstood. Jesus said, I want you to go to Jerusalem. I want you to wait. You're going to receive the Holy Spirit. And after you receive the Holy Spirit, he says, you're going to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. My witnesses. That was the preparation for the 2.0 step that they were to take. And we'll read about it in this series as we get into the book of Acts, in the second chapter of the book of Acts next week and the week after that. But what does that have to do with Northeast? What does 2.0 mean to the Northeast family? Well, I think 2.0 to us in part means that we are reaffirming our mission. We want to recommit to the mission that doesn't change. And you'll see on this slide right here, our motto or our mission statement that we developed several years ago was loving, growing, sharing. And we've made a few alterations to that. We've added one word, and I think it gives our 2.0 mission some clarity, and that is love God, grow deeper, and share Jesus. That's our motto. That's what we live by. That's what our priority is as a church. And I'm hoping as time goes on and we develop a culture here that stresses these things more and more, that relate to everything that we do. If somebody comes up to you and says, tell me about the Northeast Church. What are y'all about? What are you trying to do? I would hope that every single one of us could say, this is what the Northeast Church is about. And this is what we're trying to do. And we are trying to do it because these are God's priorities. To love Him. To grow deeper in our faith. To love Jesus more, to share Jesus. Why are these important? It's not just a slogan. It really isn't. Because every one of these three things here has something to do with everything we want to do and accomplish for Christ. Why they're important? Everything we do is tied to these three things, I believe, or everything that God calls us to do. What about love God? Why is that important? Why is that mentioned first? Could it be that it's because Jesus says when he was asked what the greatest commandment, Jesus answers that question. He says, this is the greatest commandment, to love the Lord your God with all of your heart and soul and mind and strength. And another one related to it is love your neighbor as yourself. It's about motive. It's about the heart. And it's about understanding that no matter what we do, if we're not doing it for the right reason, and if we're not being moved by the love of God, and if we're not being moved by our love for Jesus, and if we're not showing that love to one another, ultimately it's worthless. I mean, Paul said that in 1 Corinthians 13 when he said, listen, you do all these religious things, have all this religious activity, you make all of these sacrifices, you offer your body to be burned, you give everything you have to the poor, and you don't have love, it profits you nothing. This is why we start here. It's a why for the what that we do. What about the idea of growing deeper? What does that mean? That means that every single one of us needs to be concerned about growing deeper in our faith, growing deeper in our knowledge, growing deeper in our relationship with Jesus, growing deeper in our relationships with each other. And when we say we are growing, we are moving, we are doing something, we are changing. We're admitting that I have not arrived. I don't know everything. There are still things for me to do. There are still things for me to learn. And it was true for these disciples. They still had some misunderstandings. They're still thinking of the kingdom as an earthly national kingdom, and they didn't know everything, and yet they would learn. Grow deeper. That's one reason I've asked you over the last several weeks, read the Gospels again. Read the Gospel accounts with fresh eyes. Read the Gospels as we get ready for a series coming up in March and April. We're going to be talking about discipleship. I want us all to try to recapture what that relationship and that commitment and that devotion to Jesus really means in our time and our culture. And if we approach the Bible with the attitude, well, I've heard that, I know that, I've studied it before, if we're not willing to look at things with fresh eyes to go deeper, then we're not going to reach the potential that God calls us to. What about share Jesus? Why is that important? Why is that such a core value here at Northeast? Well, once again, go back to what Jesus said to them in Acts 1 and other places. You're going to be my witnesses. And this is a reminder to us. It's a reminder to you and me. We're not just about keeping the status quo or keeping house. We're concerned about our motives, why we're doing what we're doing, why you're doing what you're doing. Love God, growing deeper, and ultimately it's about sharing that with others. It's about taking those next steps. I love this statement here in Acts chapter 1. When Jesus is taken up before them, in verse 9 it says, after this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. And they were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood before them. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken up from you to heaven will come back in the same way you've seen him go into heaven. There's so many applications of that statement. And I don't blame them for doing what they're doing here. I mean, Jesus has died, he's been raised, he's appeared to them for a period of over 40 days, and he's trying to stress to them, and he's speaking to us through the centuries, that there's a next step for you. There's this new experience and this new challenge that you're going to have in this world. And although I am leaving, I'm not leaving you alone. Why do you stand here looking up into the sky? He's coming back. And he's going to come back in the same way that he left. It's almost as if these angels, and it doesn't say that they're angels, but I believe they are saying to them, you need to get ready. There's work to do. There's something else. There's a next step. Get ready. Get ready. We've been through some hard times as a church, as a nation. Said a couple of weeks ago that I know some of us, as we look back to 2020, we thought, you know what, such a rough, tough year in a lot of ways. But I want us to look at it differently. Because I feel like 2020 and what we've had to deal with COVID and everything else associated with that, in a lot of ways, that's preparing us. It's preparing us for taking a next step, I believe. And some of the things that are in place right now, they were just absolutely done by necessity. We were scrambling with God's help. We were scrambling when this COVID thing hit. In a lot of ways, we were flying by the seat of our pants. But we did what we had to do, right? We had talked about live streaming before. We had talked about doing other things. We just hadn't done it yet. And so, by the circumstances that we faced, we were kind of forced, we were kind of pushed into doing some things that maybe we felt we weren't ready to do. And yet we did them. And from a personal standpoint, I look at what has happened and the things that are in place right now as a reminder to us now, we have been equipped to do some things right now as we move forward and we get post-COVID, some things that maybe we never would have imagined that we could do before. So we're getting ready. And we're not completely there yet. And while putting signage in a building is not the ultimate end-all for everything, it's just a reminder to us that we're not coasting. That there are more people who are going to come to this place. We're going to have opportunities to reach others in areas and realms that we never would have imagined that we could do. Okay, so we put up some signs and we adjust our, add a little detail to our mission or our purpose statement. But it's not just, it's not about that. It's about you and me being reminded that we're not going to sit still. And just as they got ready, we're going to get ready and we're going to move. I'm ready for Northeast 2.0. What about you? What about you? What about the 2.0 you? What about the new you, new and improved you, the rest of 2021? I've talked a lot about steps the last couple of weeks, I talked about in relationship to my series on the Jesus touch. And I made the point with a blind man that for him, it was a step. It was a step. And so you may be in a place right now in your life where you just need to take a step. I talked to somebody this week, and they were still in a funk. They attitude-wise, they said, you know, I've wanted to do certain things, but I'm just having a hard time getting myself motivated, and I know I should do this or I should do that. And sometimes we just have to say, okay, God, I'm going to trust you, and I'm going to do something to get myself out of that inertia. So for you, it may be, I'm going to attend in-person Bible classes when they start 2 weeks from today. Or I've been so disconnected that I'm going to do something concrete related to my relationship to my brothers and sisters in Jesus. I'm going to reach out in an active way to this person or this brother or this leader and encourage them or whatever it takes. Just the idea of doing something. Why do you stand there looking into the sky? This same Jesus who left, he's going to come back the same way. So what's the next step? Is it praying for that one person you know well and you know you can influence positively for Jesus? Is it you taking that step to meet with them, to call them, write them, meet them for lunch, and praying that God helps you do and say things that will reach this person in a way you being more effective than anybody else could be with that person? Or maybe you've been that person that other people have been praying for. And right now, you need to take that step. If you're viewing online, I know that there are some who are viewing today who need to make that commitment and be baptized into Christ. And there may be some here this day who need to take that step. I want to baptize more people in 2021. Do you? I want more people to make that commitment to Jesus and follow him. Because there's nothing more important than that in terms of what we do. You will be my witnesses. So what kind of witness are you going to be the rest of 2021? As you think about the new and improved you. So if someone asked you, what are y'all about at Northeast? What are y'all trying to do? What are you going to say? I'd like for these three things to be on our hearts constantly. But not just on our hearts, in our lives. Not just as a slogan. Back in 2015 or 2014, the Coke company came up with a slogan that was very, very successful. Share a Coke. That's all it was. Share a Coke. That was a multi-million dollar ad campaign. And they sold lots of product. Love God, grow deeper, share Jesus. That's not just a slogan. For our church, it should be a way of life. And for you, the same. Who are you? I'm someone who loves God. I'm someone who wants to grow deeper in my relationship with Him and my brothers and sisters in Jesus. And I'm somebody who wants to share by serving, by telling the story of Jesus to others. Love God, grow deeper, share Jesus.